It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to Raven Radio KCAW in Sitka. Today is Monday, April 15th, 2024. I'm Brooke Schaefer with Raven News. The city and borough of Wrangell is lending Ketchikan an ambulance after a fire destroyed some of the town's emergency equipment. The fire burned early Tuesday morning inside one of the Ketchikan area fire stations, South Tongass Fire Department. No one was injured. Wrangell's borough manager, Mason Villarma, says he was notified by the Wrangell Volunteer Fire Department captain, Jordan Bunis, that Ketchikan needed help.
Jordan Bunis came into my office and said, hey, we need to send our ambulance down. And so we got the ambulance on the barge, and now they have an ambulance that they can use.
Wrangell has three ambulances in total. Villarma says that the city does have ample coverage and solutions in case an emergency happens while the ambulance is gone.
I think that's a great testament to our volunteer fire department and kind of giving back to some communities that really helped us during the landslide. So just a note on that, and thanking volunteer fire department for being aware of surrounding community events and thinking of Ketchikan during a difficult time.
Fire Chief Tim Bunis says he's not sure how long the South Tongass Fire Department will need the ambulance. He says it depends on the structural damage to the back of their ambulance that was in the fire.
If the aluminum got hot and it's warped and it's not usable, and then, you know, whatever they have to do for a replacement. We haven't really crossed that bridge yet.
According to the Ketchikan Gateway Borough, the fire was started by a piece of equipment. The State Fire Marshal's office is investigating. Every year, Alaskan students compete to see who can remember the most granular details in a dozen books. The event, called Battle of the Books, is meant to promote a love of reading. KFSK's Hannah Floor joined the Petersburg team last month as they celebrated the end of the season by cooking a special treat.
So I decided that I'm going to have cocoa, peanut butter, and strawberry
inside.
But school is over for the day, but a few students at Petersburg's Racy Stedman Elementary haven't gone home.
What are you going to roll it in?
Roll it in cinnamon, sugar, and lemon.
Well, let's see what happens. All right.
That's second grader Thora Hess, youngest member of Petersburg's Battle of the Books team. Three of the four kids on the team are here today, crowded around a counter in the teacher's lounge. They're making mochi, a chewy Japanese rice cake. When they finish, they're going to eat the mochi while they take a statewide vote on next year's Battle of the Books reading list.
My fingers are stuck together.
Okay, really important. If you do this at home, do not wash this down the sink. Tell me why.
It's sticky.
And?
Oh, it'll clog the drain.
Yep.
That voice of reason is Debbie Tice, Battle of the Books coach and elementary librarian. She says the mochi making was inspired by one of this year's books.
In that book, Jasmine wants nothing more than to pound the mochi with the men. But one, she's a girl, and two, she's too young. And so she struggles all the way through the book, struggles. And so they do let her pound the mochi. She proves that she's strong enough. And in the end, they all make mochi together, and it's just this beautiful little lesson. And so in the back of the book, there is a recipe for mochi.
The book was one of 12 that the teammates read for the competition. The Battle of the Books is all about knowing the little details in a book that most people don't remember after a single read-through. So each teammate picked three books and became an absolute expert, sometimes reading each book more than a dozen times. The group worked together for nearly 6 months to get the details straight. Tice says the teammates really connected with each other over the books and started to learn to listen to each other and trust each other.
As young people, we learn to trust each other, to trust ourselves, and to also be very graceful with others when they aren't perfect, and giving ourselves grace when we don't have it exactly. So there's so much in it. It's not just reading a book and knowing the answers.
Battle of the Books has been around in different forms since the 1940s. In the early 80s, a school librarian introduced the competition in Alaska as a way to get kids excited about reading. Tice says that excitement can help kids really immerse themselves in a character's world.
Through reading, we can experience things without having to experience them ourselves. And I think that just builds so much empathy.
The team tied for 17th place out of 33 teams in Alaska. Tai says that's pretty impressive since this was the first Battle of the Books competition for all four team members. She says that she checked in with the kids early on, making sure they were up for the level of competitiveness.
I said, okay, listen, this is our first try. This is your first time at this. What if we get into the state competition and we don't answer anything right? And one of them said, that's okay, we're just learning. That's okay, this is about the experience. And they all agreed. And that was beautiful to me, that they were willing to put themselves out there and willing to take a risk, not knowing what the results would be.
It's going to be the fourth minute.
Yes.
Back at the teacher's lounge, the kids are finishing up their mochi making.
Get some paper towels wet, and I want you to wipe that table down for us, please.
The table is filled with different flavors of mochi, cut into bite-sized pieces. Thora Hess surveys all the different batches.
Yeah, everything looks tasty, but it's in the flavor. You can't rely on looks.
The texture creates some interesting associations.
No, it's like grainy, almost like a cat's tongue, but softer.
How do you know what a cat's tongue feels like?
I felt Poncho's tongue. With my
fingers. Tyson's team settle in, plates full. Now they just have to vote on next year's books. Tice reads a synopsis of each book and has the kids rank them on a scale of 1 to 5, 5 being the books they're most excited about.
Sarah is facing years in the juvenile detention system for hacking into the foster care computer system. But then she gets a second chance when a mysterious man offers her a chance to join a group of M16 affiliated spies.
Oh, yeah. I'd give that a 1,000.
It's like a 300-page book.
In Petersburg, I'm Hannah Flohr.
The Alaska House of Representatives passed its $6 billion operating budget on Thursday. That's the spending plan for day-to-day state government operations. Representative Delina Johnson, a Palmer Republican, says the budget is the product of a collaborative process and compromise.
This budget prioritizes public safety, education, a strong permanent fund dividend, essential services to Alaskans, and provides support to Alaska's most vulnerable populations.
The budget includes $175 million in one-time funding for public schools around the state. That's roughly equivalent to a $680 increase in base per student funding. The budget includes a roughly $2,300 permanent fund dividend. That's the amount proposed by the House Finance Committee and represents about 30% of the state's yearly draw on the permanent fund. Johnson says the budget has a surplus of nearly $80 million, but members of the mostly Democratic and Independent Minority Caucus say the budget leaves out many necessary items that must be added later. Republican Senator Bert Stedman of Sitka says the operating budget as written doesn't leave room for the other massive budget the legislature needs to pass to fund infrastructure. House and Senate leaders have agreed on a $550 million capital budget.
So by the time you add that all in, they're underwater somewhere around $276 million. So that's a lot of gaposis to deal with in the conference committee. And we have to get the ends to meet.
Stedman says a dividend of approximately $1,600 would allow for a balanced budget. The operating budget now heads to the Senate. I'm Brooke Schaefer, and this has been Raven News. And coming up for you next, I'll have a look at the weather for Sitka. Taking a look at the weather for Sitka for today, Monday, April 15th, 2024. Areas of fog before 10 a.m., otherwise sunny with a high near 52. Northwest winds 5 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, patchy fog between 10 p.m. and 4 a.m. Patchy freezing fog after 4 a.m. Otherwise, mostly clear with a low around 32. Northwest winds around 5 miles per hour. And now taking a look at our community calendar for some things happening in the listening region. The Tunnicky Springs Medical Provider is in town today, Monday, April 15th through Thursday, April 18th. The annual city cleanup is Saturday, April 13th through Sunday, April 21st. For more information, call 907-747-1804. The Sitka Recycle Center now accepts number 5 plastic in addition to number 1 and number 2 plastics, all of which can now be commingled in the same container, and corrugated cardboard and newspapers can now also be commingled in the same container. If you have questions, call 907-747-1804. Deadline for students ages 14 to 22 currently enrolled in school for fall 2024 to apply for Southeast Alaska Independent Living Summer Work Program is Monday, May 20th. The seasonal sales tax rate increased to 6% effective April 1st through September 30th. If you have questions about this, call 907-747-1840. And a friendly reminder that you can always check out the community calendar yourself at any time by going to kcaw.org and clicking on the community calendar tab. You're right now tuned into your community radio station, Raven Radio KCAW in Sitka. Good morning.